Coming up on the program, as you just heard, Kevin Powell. Congratulations, Kevin, by the way. News sports anchor for the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here in the afternoons on 720 WGN. And also a baseball specialist for the radio station.
Thrilled, welcome aboard, Kevin.
Thrilled to be joining you guys. Really appreciate you welcoming me in. I'm very excited.
Another moment in which we were able to steal a very vital piece of the Steve Cochran Show.
Mm-hmm. Anytime we can cannibalize from that show.
And we did that, I think, particularly well. And again, you know, poor Steve. And it's just sort of like, it's like a Monty Python film. I'm taking him off, you know, one arm at a time, one leg at a time, toe at a time. It's gonna be what it is.
Eventually, just Steve alone. The lights off in the studio, showcase studio, all by himself.
Where did everyone go?
Hey, what happened?
Next Andrea, then Dave.
Yeah,
he's
Dave.
Such a nice guy, too. I wonder why it's all happening to him.
I don't know. It's sad. It's sad. It couldn't really happen to a nicer guy, literally. I mean, I don't mean that in a sense of irony. I mean that, you know, like, significantly. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the way it goes.
So you feel for him while you're poaching from him.
Exactly. All right. Karen Lewis is joining us on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And Ms. Lewis, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it. And
thank you for having me.
It is always a pleasure to talk to you. The Chicago Teachers Union tomorrow is doing their one-day strike. We just talked to Father Flager. I want to ask you this before we get any further. Father Flager was talking about, you know, he's very concerned about the, you know, kids having a day off. As you guys were determining all of this, I know that you're in a very pitched battle with the city and the mayor and all that about funding, but do you have safety concerns about tomorrow?
You know what? We were on strike for 7 days, and not one single kid was hurt. Not one single child was attacked, you know, during this. And, you know, I don't know. Did they have concerns about last week when CPS declared a furlough day and shut down schools without people knowing about it in advance? So, yeah. You know, I think that's just, you know, kind of like tries to deflect and make conflict.
So what would you like to see come out of this particular moment tomorrow?
What we would like to see is, one, a real discussion about sustainable revenue for the entire state of Illinois. I mean, this is about, we cannot get anything done if we do not have sustainable revenue. And that's an unfortunate reality, but we can't continue to every single year have to borrow and cut. I mean, you can't cut your way into a world-class education.
Karen, I want to ask you a little bit. It seems like a little bit of the sentiment in the city is turning against you. And, you know, I see things that are somewhat unfair. Like I think the Chicago Tribune might not be quite right by calling it Tantrum Day. I've seen that over and over again. When, as you point out, CPS ordered furlough days, which are also days off that kids and parents have to decide what the heck they're going to do. Those are ordered by CPS. This is ordered by teachers who are taking a walkout. I think that it has become sort of sad that, you know, after years, the way the city has been managed, and some would say mismanaged, that now middle-income people like teachers and low-income people are being forced to shoulder the burden. You know, that said, it feels as if the chickens have come home to roost, and it's not a pretty situation, and people are saying, would teachers be willing to share in the pain and do anything to contribute to the situation we're in?
We have been sharing. I don't think people understand. We have been sharing in the pain for some time. The fact that we have had so many people cut, we have lost libraries, we've lost art and music and all kinds of classes. We've lost a lot of our teacher assistants, our special ed teachers. We have lost a lot, and it's made our classes larger. It's made it more difficult to try to deal with some of the basic issues that need to be dealt with. So when they keep saying shared sacrifice, I want Ken Griffin to do some shared sacrifice. I would like for Bank of America to also do some shared sacrifice, because they are the ones that have sold us on these toxic swaps. You know, there are all kinds of things that need to be done, but this notion that we aren't giving anything and we haven't shared is not true. And there will never be an end to the asking of cuts. We have our year and our day extended 20%. We didn't get a 20% raise. We settled for 2%. I mean, the people, when they talk about share, what does that really mean? So I guess I understand what you're saying, but there's a lot of sharing that a lot of people aren't doing.
Let me ask you about this, because we've been reporting today that that the union said the teachers that do not take part in the strike tomorrow will be kicked out of the union. Is that accurate, and how do you do that?
There are internal procedures to deal with strike breakers, and it's every union has these kind of particular internal procedures, and these are the things that happen. I mean, it's like, you know, do you really want to be part of the union or not? You know, and part of the union is that even if you don't personally agree with something, when people take a vote, and again, the vote we ended up taking was a 3-1 vote. Okay, a 3-1 vote on setting this particular date and this particular action. And there are a lot of people that don't agree with it. They don't understand that this is part of a larger process. This is a vision for a movement. And the fact that we have other people supporting us is very, very important. We can't do this by ourselves. And to go back to the question about are people not supportive of us, we do polling on a regular basis. So we're data-driven. We're not anecdotal. You know, we're the worst things on the world, on the planet, period. But our polling has shown that 70% of people that have children in CPS are very supportive of us. And they know that our data are infinitely better, that the things that we talk about that are good for kids are really good for kids.
So you do the data to figure out the political position for the union and also the service of the union to the kids? Explain a little bit about what the motive behind the polling is.
So the motive behind polling is that we need to know what people are thinking so that when we make decisions about what we're going to do, we know what it is they really want. You know, they want, what we find is they want someone who is going to say, this is what's good for kids, this isn't what's good for kids. I mean, there are a variety of different questions that get asked when we do polling. But ultimately, it's about what we do when we do it.
And now, Karen, let me.
I'm sorry, I'm in traffic.
I know. I understand.
You can tell something's going on.
I understand. Both hands on the wheel, please.
I'm not driving. I got somebody driving.
Good. That is important. Yeah. All right. So, you know, you mentioned Ken Griffin. You'd like to see Ken Griffin or Bank of America or any of the rest of the, you know, the folks, you know, doing their fair share too. But the argument that counter to that, which I know you've heard before, but it's worth bringing up and debating slightly. That they don't have to, because they can just say, well, as they wash our hands, we don't want to be here. We don't have to be here. We don't have to take part in a system that they think is inefficient and they don't think is properly managed. And for years, and we do know that the Chicago Public Schools have had some management issues, facilities issues. I mean, that's one of the things that you fought. So
I'd agree with you.
Yeah, right. Of course you would.
We feel that it's been highly mismanaged. But part of that is the reason why people throughout Chicago wanted an elected representative school board. So in the areas that was allowed to be on the ballot, 97% of the people voted for that. And if you look at the bill that came out of the House, 110-4 voted for that. So that meant we got Democratic and Republican support for that.
So this one-day action, just explain to us now what the trajectory is. If you don't, after this one-day action tomorrow, where the teachers are going to be stay home, what is then the next move? I mean, are you willing to?
You know what? I'm not going to discuss that with you, because union strategy, I'm sorry, I can't have that conversation with you. I know you guys would like to know, but there's a whole process of other things we have planned, and when it's time to discuss it with you, we will, but not today.
Do you have an expected response from the city?
Whatever. You know, I mean, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about what they're doing. because they have so many other things they have to worry about at this point in time, that we're just one blip on their radar. But we're going to continue to move forward. We're going to work with the people that want to work with us to try to get sustainable revenue out of Springfield. So that's our focus. Our focus is on getting the governor to you know, sign a budget bill and to stop holding the entire state hostage.
They've talked about how this might be a legal strike. That's what CPS is claiming. Do you think that it is? And do you think that they'll be taking some kind of action about those teachers that do strike?
I don't think there'll be any action towards an individual teacher. I would hope not, because that makes no sense. I mean, really, you know, 20-some thousand people, you're gonna discipline? How? You know, how are we going to do that? That would be an unfair labor practice in itself, because it's a concerted effort. We believe that it is legal. Our attorneys have done the research on that, too. And, you know, there's a precedent set by the United States Supreme Court. So we're relying on SCOTUS to support this. We don't agree. Forrest Claypool, not a judge, not a lawyer that I heard of. I mean, so I don't know. I mean, the lawyers have their idea. They're talking about a different law altogether governing strikes, that this is an unfair labor practice strike. This is not a strike for our contract. Mm-hmm. Because that is the reason why we have all these other unions and all these other community organizations supporting us.
All right. Okay. Karen Lewis,
thank you
very much. Appreciate you calling in.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Karen Lewis, Chicago Teachers Union. Of course, Claypool is the one who actually called this an illegal strike.
But to be clear, he said today they would not penalize any teacher who didn't come to work.
And that they're playing politics, but you hear what's going on. It's playing politics. That's all that there is going on here. It's politics.
It's sad. I mean, I was educated in CPS. I had some wonderful teachers. I'm very grateful for the education, because my parents wouldn't have been able to afford a private education. And it's sad that it's come to this. I feel for the teachers. I know we don't have enough money to pay for the situation that we have right now in the city across a lot of different categories. And I don't know. It just feels ugly to see people pitting each other against each other, and not really a strong solution in terms of how to pay for all of the services we've set up in this city right now.
What's interesting, though, is that there's an automatic covenant, and we'll talk about that in just a second. I think people need to know this, that if they don't come up with a budget, they don't figure this out, that there's an automatic covenant that goes into that they don't have to vote on. It's done. That will raise our property taxes in the city of Chicago dramatically. And they can just hold their hands up and go, what? It happened. There's nothing we can do about it. Mm-hmm. And that is a scary prospect.